Been a great day in the Lord's house so far, and the music has been a blessing too, as it has been tonight. Amen. Appreciate the offertory there. I mean, anyone know the name of that song besides Mercy? Complete in Thee is the name of the song, and that was a blessing. Thank you for sharing it that way. Those words are great too. Psalm 37. We're going to look at verses 1 to verse number 10 over the next few weeks. Tonight we'll just look at the first three, but I'd like for us to read through that passage of Scripture, verse 1 to verse number 10, and let's read responsibly. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, we'll go back and forth. And verse 10 is where we'll stop, but we'll just look at the first three as we look in the Scriptures later on in just a moment. Let's begin though. Verse number 1, here's what the Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass.
Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any
For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. These first 10 verses, two words stand out to me. The first one is this, fret. Fret. Fret means anguish, or be grieved over, or bothered by. And the second word is this, a little while. A little while. Verse number 7, he says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself." Verse number 10, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be." You know, as we look out in the world today, and we've all seen this, there are plenty of things to fret over, to be anguished over. And every day, if you watch the news, every day something new seems to come up, whether it's nearby or affects us eventually. God says, don't fret. Don't fret. He said the wicked have their time, but for how long? Verse 10 tells us it's only for a little while, a little while. So the series I'd like to share with you as we start tonight is called Fret Not for a Little While. That's the series we're going to look at. But we'll look at verses 1, 2, and 3 as we consider this. Fret not if you trust in the Lord. Fret not if you trust in the Lord. If you're taking notes, that's the title tonight. Fret not if you trust in the Lord. Have you ever fretted over anything? Have you ever anguished over things? A man came home one day and his dog was still and silent. The man wasn't sure if it was alive or not, so he took it to the vet. He told the veterinarian the problem. The vet left the room and returned with a cat. He put the cat on the dog's face and the cat walked around, and after a while, the vet came to the conclusion that the dog indeed had passed away. The man was quite upset, and he asked the doctor how much he owed him. The doctor said, $550. The man said, what? I've only been here for 5 minutes. He said, well, the first 50 is for the visit. The $500 is for the CAT scan. Fret not if you trust in the Lord. Anguish. Grief. It doesn't tell us that we can't have some sorrow or have something to be grieved about, but it does say on a normal basis, we should not be fretting over things. And he starts out here tonight, fret not if you trust in the Lord. Verse number 3, take a look at it again. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Fret not if you trust in the Lord. Before we go any further, would you bow with me? We'll ask God to help us as we look in his word tonight. Lord, we thank you that we can put our trust in you. We can put our trust in you for salvation, for what Jesus has done on the cross. We can put our trust in you for answered prayer, trust in you for our family situations, for future events, Lord, for present problems, Father, for financial needs, Lord, everything in life we can. Now I pray, Father, that we will, knowing that you have the power and the opportunity and the availability to make things good, to make things right. I pray, Father, you'd help us to make a decision tonight to trust in you instead of to fret. Pray your filling, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak through the Word of God. Use me tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Fret not if you trust in the Lord. The Bible gives us, I believe, three thoughts as we look at verse 1, 2, and 3 here. The first one I share with you tonight is this: trust in the Lord avoids the fate of evildoers. Trust in the Lord avoids the fate of evildoers. Verse number 2 says, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." You know, evil, the Bible says, number 1, evil is done with the hands and the heart. Evil is done with the hands and the heart. Thinking evil is the seed for sinful action. Turn with me, if you would, John chapter 3, please. Jesus pointed this out very clearly when he was meeting at night with the old Pharisee there. John chapter 3, let's take a look at it. One of the great chapters in the Bible referring to salvation, talking about what Jesus is here to do to save mankind. And yet he had so much more to say too besides John 3:16. Take a look with me. We'll look at verse number 19 and 20, but I want to quote, focus on verse 20 for a moment. The Bible says in John 3 verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Evil is done with the hands and the heart. Thinking evil is the seed for sinful action. And we talked about it this morning. The natural man, that's you, that's me, before knowing Christ at all, the natural individual, the flesh, that's what we want to do. We want to think about whatever the flesh may consider. And most of the time, it's not good stuff. It's not anything that would glorify God without Christ. And the Bible says that is the seat of the seed for sinful action. Verse 19 tells us that doing evil is the exact opposite of God's will. Look at verse 19. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Evil is done with the hands and the heart. And we've talked about it even this morning, but you've seen it all week. You turn on the tube, you read about it on the internet, whatever your source of information you're finding, what's going on in the world today, the first word that comes to mind, at least if you're a Christian, is look at all the evil going on. Look at all the evil going on. And we thought the world was bad. Well, here's what's happening. They're feeling unbridled right now. They're feeling that there's no accountability. And guess what? Right now, many of them are right. If you lived in Seattle, man, you can go and apparently you can go into any store, take what you want, walk out and not be prosecuted. As long as you make sure everybody knows you're a protester, right? You're a protester. Other cities are doing the same thing. Maybe you saw right now, and boy, if you were the mayor of Atlanta, I think you should have seen this coming. Atlanta, one of the biggest cities in America. Now they're the ones that are the hotbed for all this kind of rioting and so forth. You know, we need to be praying that God would put a stop to all this. Amen. But I want to tell you something, that whether we pray for it or not, it will come to a stop. It will come to a stop. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But evil is done with the hands and the heart. What goes on in the mind eventually makes its way on the actions outside. The Bible tells us that we commit evil because, quite simply, we are born sinners. Turn with me, if you would, Psalms chapter 51. Psalm 51. You say, "Well, I've not been out there. Nobody's caught me on TV, rioting and so forth. Well, the Bible says that in order to be pure, in order to be good, in order to be like God, you have to be perfect. Now, you folks are very good people, but you're not perfect. Did you know that? I try to be a nice guy, but I'm not perfect. And Psalm 51 gives me one of the reasons why. Psalm 51, look at verse number 5. Says this, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." The truth of the matter is, I was born that way. Inherently, I have sin that has a desire to work against God. And by the way, sin is evil. Sin is evil. Did you know that? Sin is evil. The Bible says it's inherent. The Bible also says that it's willful. Romans chapter 3. If you want to turn there, it's verse number 10. Romans chapter 3, let's take a look, starting in verse number 10. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse number 10, says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none," verse 11, "that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." This makes sin not just inherent, but willful. I choose to do it. It was my choice. The devil didn't make me do it. Eve couldn't claim that. She said that, didn't she? My wife didn't make me do it. That's what Adam said. But he still had to bear the consequence of his sin. And as do we all, through inheritance and through willfulness, sin is part of something we have to deal with. We commit evil because we are born sinners. But here's the thought. Evil has an expiration date. Evil has an expiration date. Turn with me, if you would, Revelation chapter 20, all the way to the back of the story. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20 what's going to happen to it all. Now, I believe there's a point where God puts evil down in this life. But the scriptures tell us that there will definitely be a plan to put evil down in the future. Revelation chapter 20, look at verse number 12 with me, please. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, John recording here what he saw, he says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." In these short verses, we see death, hell, and the one time that you see the whosoever's that you don't want to be a part of. Amen. He says, "And whosoever," verse 15, "was not found written in the book of life." Whether the wealthy or the poor, the known or the obscure, the big or the small, "and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Trust in the Lord avoids the fate of evildoers. Every evildoer Jesus encountered, you know, all those Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes that wagged their finger at him, looking for ways to get him caught in his own things, and then eventually feeling victorious when they saw him on the cross. If they had never put their faith in Christ, they're there today in hell. They're there today. They've been there for thousands of years now. Those friends and family maybe who passed away recently, you know them. And you'd prayed for them. You'd beg God to do something in their life. And there was no decision in their life, as far as you know, that received Christ as Savior. Their soul's there today. I hate that kind of thought, don't you? I don't like that. But I read the Bible, and the Bible is plain. Whosoever name is not written in the book of life shall be what? Cast into the lake of fire. It's as simple as that. The choice was made before they ever took their last breath. Evil. Do you know trusting in the Lord can avoid all of that? Amen? Amen. Trusting Christ can avoid all that. We have family, we have friends, we have neighbors. Let's keep praying. Let's keep talking to them. Let's keep inviting them. Let's ask them about where they want to be in eternity and tell them, you've got an answer. It's the best one. Trust in the Lord. It avoids the fate of evildoers. Number two, let's go back to the book of Psalms, please. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Verse number 3 starts out with this phrase, trust in the Lord and do good. Number 2, trust in the Lord behaves in goodness. Trust in the Lord behaves in goodness. If you're trusting the Lord, it's going to show. Amen. It's going to show. Goodness is a gift from God. It's not something that we all of a sudden come up with. God says what is good, and God says, here's how you can do it through my help. Turn with me, if you would, James chapter 1. Let's take a look there. James chapter 1. The Bible says anyone can do acts of goodness. James chapter 1, and take a look at verse number 17. James chapter 1 and verse number 17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Anyone can do acts of goodness. God has given man the ability to do something that is helpful, that is good. Remember a few weeks ago, boy, it just, you know, I think it was 3 weeks ago, but it seems like it's been eons ago, when President Trump announced that religious services and churches are essential. How many remember that? How many remember that? Now, I don't know if President Trump is a Christian. I pray that he is. And I pray if he's not, that he would get right and receive Christ as Savior. Did you know, if you ever done any history on him, you'll find out that his mother was. She got saved during the Ebride's revival back in the 1950s. His vice president is an outspoken born-again Christian. Amen? So I don't know how you can be around those two and still not be, but I'm praying for him. I trust you will too. But whether he's saved or not, he did a good thing. And he made a proclamation that allowed all churches to say, if we want to be open, we'll be open without any reprisals. God says even those that do not know him can do acts of goodness. But only the Christian can glorify God by goodness. Only the Christian can glorify God by goodness. How does he do that? Well, the first thing we see in the scriptures is that he can call on Christ. Calling on Christ alone is an act of something good. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's take a look there. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Calling on Christ is an act of goodness. 1 Timothy 6. Look at verse number 12. And let's take a look here. Apostle Paul writing to Timothy here, his pastoral apprentice, and he says in verse number 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed what? A good profession before many witnesses. You've said you're born again, you've told others, and your witness is well known, Timothy, and it's clear to all those around you who you know is your Savior and trust for salvation. Calling on Christ is an act of goodness, and it glorifies God. Romans chapter 15. Let's take a look there. Verse 5 of Romans 15. Living for Christ, of course, an act of goodness. Living for Christ. It's something we should all be striving to do. Verse 5 and verse number 6 of Romans chapter 15. Living for Christ, an act of goodness. Verse 5 says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that our very life can glorify God, an act of goodness. And then finishing well in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4, that's where we find this. Calling on Christ, living for Christ, and then finishing well for Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 7. And let's read that together. Would you read that with me? Verse number 7, 2 Timothy chapter 4. You may even have it memorized. It's a well-known verse, but let's say it out loud together, please. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Here the Apostle Paul again writing to Timothy, and he says, listen, living for Christ is good. Knowing Christ is good. You've professed a good profession. But then he says, finishing well for Christ is good. Is good. Maybe you've met someone or known someone who seemed so excited about church at some point, maybe back in the years gone by, and now they don't go to church at all. Now the Christian life seems like something that they've got more things to do on Sundays instead of be here with people like you. Now I can't look into the heart of people who've been that way. You know people like that. I know folks like that. And I'm thankful for the time that I've spent with them in the Lord's house and serving together. But somewhere along the line, they missed this final thought that finishing well is good. Finishing well is good. You know, the Bible talks about finishing well. He says, I fought the good fight. I have finished my course. You don't finish the course. What's the end of the course for the Christian? It's death. It's that last breath, or until the Lord comes. Maybe he comes in the air and takes us home before we taste death, but it's until we draw our last breath is when the course is done on this world. God says, finish well. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's good. And some of us here tonight, friends, I'm sorry to say, statistics tell us, some of us who are here tonight in the next 10 years will not be in a Bible-believing church. In that 10th year. Statistics tell us. It's sad to say. I'd rather see us finish well. Amen. Finish well. And you say, well, that'll never happen to me. Well, as long as you're living for Christ, I would say that's not likely for you. But finishing well, looking at the finish line, Jesus is still waiting for me. Jesus is still there. God's still there. Heaven is still waiting. Amen. And he's still with me today. Let's live and do that which is good for God. Goodness is a gift from God. Goodness has a couple lists. Goodness has a couple lists. Let's take a look at it. In Galatians chapter 5. We actually looked at this morning, but let's look at it again. Galatians chapter 5. What are the lists? Number one, well, let's look at the to-do list. The to-do list for goodness. And if you know Galatians 5, you know where we're going, what we're going to see. Galatians chapter 5 is the spiritual garden in the Bible. It's a good garden. It talks about the good fruit. And it's a garden where there's bad fruit too. Now, I shouldn't say bad fruit because bad fruit, there's no such thing as bad fruit in the spiritual life. It's rotten. Things that come out of that part of the garden. And God says there's two places we can look. First of all, let's look at verse number 22 and talk about the good things, the good fruit. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Notice goodness is in there. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, following what he shares and leads and guides us to do. By the way, you're not going to be able to follow the Spirit of God without knowing what he says. Where do we find what he says? He's the author. Amen. He wrote it. So we need to find out what he says. Make it a daily habit to be in the Word of God. We talk about that all the time. And you're doing it and you see the Lord work when you do. You miss out when you don't. You know that. The Bible says that fruit is available any time of every day. That's part of the to-do list of goodness for serving the Lord today. But what about the not-to-do list? Did you know that list is far longer? Take a look in verse number 19. Verse number 19. Here's what he says. Now the works of the flesh. Well, let me start with verse 18. That sets it up for us. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's take a look at this list for a moment. Starts out there in verse 19 with the sexual sins, adultery, fornication, uncleanness. The word lasciviousness means excess or indecency, indecency. And then verse 20 is the worship of that which is evil, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. Variance means to divide into, to bring division to. Then he says emulations, that's jealousy, envy, wrath, strife, seditions, that's insurrection, revolt. We're seeing that in our country today. And then he says heresies. Verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, literally carousing, and such like, of the which I tell you before. I saw a report the other day on this zone in Seattle that people were openly doing drug deals while they were filming them on TV. And there was not a police officer anywhere. There's no law enforcement's going to go in there. They've already said they wouldn't. This is what happens when you take away law and order. But when you know Christ, here's what he says. If you walk in the Spirit, you don't have to worry about law and order because you're following the law through the fruit of the Spirit. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, goodness, etc. God says goodness. Goodness has lists that we should follow. And God has them for us right there in the Word of God. By the way, did you know the word fruit there? Verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit, the word fruit is singular, which means if you are truly filled with the Spirit of God, you're following Him, you're obeying Him, all these things will be evident in your life. All of them together, not one or the other. They will all be there evident in your life together. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. It avoids the fate of evildoers. It behaves in goodness. Here's the third thought. Let's take a look back in Psalms. Trust in the Lord. It ensures God's supply. It ensures God's supply. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Friends, praise God for others who help us. And the government says they're going to come to your rescue again. You've probably seen that on TV or read it. Well, I wouldn't trust in them forever, would you? I don't think they have that kind of power, but God does. God does. He says, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Wednesday night, I was not able to be here. We were returning from a camping trip with the boys, and Brother Doug shared, and we were able to watch the message that night and did a great job, excellent job. I think it was Psalms 55, right? Psalm 55. And if you didn't see it, you need to go back. He shared and encouraged us to call on the Lord, leave our burdens with the Lord. And here's a second thought right on that. Trust in the Lord. So shalt thou dwell in the land, he says in verse 3, and verily thou shalt be fed. Here's what God says. We need to acknowledge God's supply in this life. Acknowledge God's supply in this life. Hey, praise the Lord, you're a hard worker. Praise the Lord, you by the sweat of your brow, you can look in the grocery store. You can look in the pantry and you can say, I picked that. We're eating this because of the hard work that I've done, whether you've earned it at the job site or wherever. But God says, if you don't acknowledge me, you're going to miss out on something. Turn with me, if you would, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And you know these verses by heart, I think. Verse number 5, verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 3. But let's take a look at it for a moment, focus on it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, verse number 6. Let's say it together, shall we? Verse 5 and 6 of Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If I do not acknowledge the Lord, according to verse number 6, what will I miss out on? His direction. God's direction. Folks, how many people would like to know what God wants them to do tomorrow? Yeah. You don't want to acknowledge the Lord in your supplies. Here's what he says. You may miss out on that. You may miss out on that. Whatever it is, as a Christian, God says, I need to acknowledge his supply in life. And listen to this. Secondly, the Bible tells me I can expect God's supply in the eternal life. In the eternal life. God says he'll supply me today and he'll supply me forever. Titus chapter 1. Let's go there. We'll finish with this tonight. Titus chapter 1 before we go into the Lord's Supper. Titus chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse number 1 and verse number 2. It's so good to know what God wants and do it. Amen. Because what he says is always the best. It always is. And yet we need to acknowledge. Then the Bible says we can even expect his supply, especially in the eternal life. Titus chapter 1. Let's look at verse number 1, verse number 2 of Titus. Here's what it says. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. You know that Sunday school teacher, your parents, your friend, whoever it was that led you to Christ, that when they led you to the Lord and showed you certainly when you call on Christ, you'll have eternal life forever. Did you know what? They were not lying to you. They were telling you the truth. They were telling you what God said. Amen? Because God cannot lie. We can bank that a million years from now, we'll be in his presence still. We'll be with him. We'll be with him. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Hey, fret not. If you trust in the Lord, the frets will begin to go away. Let's do it tonight. Father, we thank you for the way you provide for us, Lord, just the peace that passeth all understanding, simply by trusting in you, giving our full faith and confidence in you. Lord, I pray this would be another opportunity for us to decide to do that. Lord, that the things around us, the storm that brews around us, would be seen from your perspective, that it will go away in a short while, but the trust in the Lord can last and stick through it all. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to make that decision even tonight. Now, Lord, I pray you would lead us and guide us as we come to your table in Jesus' name.